Look at Acts chapter 2. A couple more verses and we'll break for lunch, okay? Then after lunch, we'll get together and we'll share communion and then do a couple other things. So, and this is at the day of Pentecost when Peter stood up and spoke to them, said, "You men of Israel," verse 22 says, "hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God." This is what God had already predetermined was necessary to accomplish redemption and accomplish the ransom required to bring his people back to him. You have taken, and I think the text omits the verb have taken because he gave himself, they didn't take him. So it's literally, they did slay him with their wicked hands. You, by your wicked hands, have crucified and slain. But God raised him up. God raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be holden of it or retained in the grave. It was not possible for him to remain dead. Why? Because of what God had prophesied, that just like Jonah, he's going to be alive. For David, it says, speaking concerning him, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face. I always keep the Almighty God. I always keep Jehovah before me. In my consciousness, he's always there." This is why David was a man after God's own heart. Because he always knew God was there. And he knew it was just pointless to deny when he made a mistake. Or rationalize it like Saul did. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. It wasn't because he was perfect. It was because he recognized when he made a mistake. Because he always kept God before his face. "For he's on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, in the grave. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." He understood his hope that one day in the resurrection of the just God would raise him. But he also knew that his Messiah would not be allowed to corrupt in the grave. And he spoke specifically of that. He prophesied specifically of that. "You will not even allow corruption to begin. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." Men and brethren, let me really speak to you of the patriarch David. He is both dead and buried. And you can go see his sepulcher if you like. Throw some flowers on it. "Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with him an oath," he had made an oath to him, "that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And seeing this before, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in the grave. Hell is the grave. Neither his flesh did see corruption." He knew it. He bet his life on the promises of God. Just like we can, and just like we have. This Jesus, as God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. We are all witnesses. We saw him. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and heard. And that was in reference to them receiving the Holy Spirit that day of Pentecost and manifesting, speaking in tongues. And all those that were of Israel that had come from the countrysides around, speaking different languages, understood every word they spoke in their own language. And yet the disciples knew not a word they were saying. And that was the testimony to them. You see it, you hear it. You may not have seen him raised from the dead. We saw him. David prophesied of it. God has raised him. And the proof of it is what you just heard earlier this morning. We spoke in tongues. You saw the cloven tongues as a fire. You saw them descend upon us and us begin speaking as the Spirit gave us utterance. And you heard us speak the wonderful works of God in your language, your native tongue. You heard it. You saw it. See, there's something about the temple that is so special because it sits on a mountaintop and all of the city below can see the temple above. So when they sat in the temple that morning and the cloven tongues descended on them and rested upon them like fire, everyone in the city who had come for the feast could see something on the top of the mount in the temple. They could see it. And those in the courtyard, the massive courtyard of the temple area, they could hear. Mighty rushing wind. And then manifest. All giving proof that God had raised Christ from the dead some 40 days earlier. David hasn't ascended into heaven. Some will say Muhammad has ascended into heaven. But I don't see anyone giving any powerful proof of supernatural reality in their lives to attest to it. There is only one that God has ascended, raised from the dead, and ascended to sit with him. And if he hadn't ascended David, then Lord knows he hadn't ascended anybody else. That's the record of Scripture anyway, so sue me if I'm wrong. You better get a good lawyer, though, because my advocate is Christ Jesus, the Lord. Now, these things are so real. They are so living. These words are quick and powerful. They're alive when they're spoken truly for what they really indeed are, the truth of God, the words of God. They are alive. They pierce through to the heart of unbelief and cause an eruption of faith to those who desire to know God and know of his reality, know of his love, know of his grace, know of his goodness. David said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel assuredly know that God hath made that same Jesus, who you took and you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He is the Lord. He is the Master. There is no other man among men who is worthy of that name. It is a name that belongs entirely and completely to that man from Nazareth of Galilee, that Son of the living God. There is no other Lord. There is no other Christ. There is only Christ Jesus, the Lord. And God proved him to be that by raising him from the dead, to which they attested to, and we do also. Every time we speak in tongues and interpret, every time we prophesy, every time we hear that knowledge from God that we need to know, every time we have that wisdom that Christ walked with, those words of wisdom that he walked with, we walk with. Every time we exercise faith to bring to pass healing and deliverance, when we cast out devil spirits and crush them under our feet, every time we do manifest that spirit that dwells within us, we attest to the reality that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He is risen. He is risen. All right. So, Father, thanks for your love and grace. Thank you again for the reality of you having raised your Son from the dead. Thank you that we can continue to walk with that forever before our face, that our eyes never lose sight of what you have done for us, each of us. You have paid the ransom for us by your Son. He sacrificed his life for us, and we're thankful for it, Father. But we're so more thankful that you have raised us together with him and seated us together with him so that we can now enjoy our lives and enjoy eternity to come. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
So thankful and so amazed that you probably think about